to the first edition of the Diplomat's Japan podcast. My name is Jeff Quigley, and I'm the assistant editor of the Diplomat's Tokyo Bureau. And I'm joined by Angela Erica Kubo, our editorial assistant. Okay, so first let's talk about the very controversial Taiji dolphin hunt that was in the news all week. This has become kind of an international media sensation since the 2009 documentary, The Cove. And CNN reported that this year was a record haul with about 500 dolphins captured, and about 50 will be going to marine parks and aquariums, and a lot of the remaining dolphins will be killed, and their meat will be sold to the Japanese public. So one of the issues surrounding the dolphin hunt is that many Japanese believe, or at least the people in Taiji believe, that this is a deeply rooted cultural tradition. Caroline Kennedy said that she was deeply concerned over the Taiji dolphin hunt. And in response, Taiji's mayor, Kazutaka Sangen, made a statement, and he said, "We're not going to change our plans for the town based on the criticism of foreigners. The hunting of whales and dolphins has been carried out since long ago and is performed on scientific grounds. I will protect this tradition." So Angela, you're half Japanese and you've grown up here. How often do you see dolphin meat, and do you believe that this is a deeply rooted cultural tradition?
I never have seen dolphin meat in my life. I've never seen it being sold in the supermarket, and I've never seen it being served in restaurants. So I disagree that it's a cultural tradition of Japan as a whole, because even most Japanese people don't know that dolphin hunting exists, and I think that if they found out what was happening in Taiji, they would be just as shocked as the rest of the world.
So there also seem to be concerns about the toxicity levels of dolphin meat, and I have a statement here from bluevoice.org that says that people who eat dolphin meat exhibit very high levels of mercury and other heavy metals. This group actually found a guy in Taiji back in 2008 who ate dolphin meat on a daily basis. And the Japanese Health Ministry recommends a maximum of 0.4 ppm mercury level for humans. And this person who ate dolphin every day had a level of 18.9 ppm. This is, I think, a cause of concern for children who might be eating the meat. I'm also concerned about the toxicity level of whales. And, of course, Japanese whaling is a larger issue in play here. So, Angela, have you eaten whale meat?
I've had whale meat before, but it's really expensive and it's not that commonly seen. So it's not something that I would eat on a daily basis, or even, you know, more than once every couple of years. But in terms of the mercury levels being high for both species, I think that the hunting should be stopped, because especially for children, it's a serious health hazard. The argument about the humaneness of killing the dolphins or the whales, or the cultural argument, it's a bit more complicated.
I think one of the biggest criticisms of people who protest the dolphin culling and the whale hunting is that they're being hypocrites. If they eat pigs or cows or chickens, they aren't in a place to be talking about killing dolphins and whales. The Japan Whaling Association's website actually stated that asking Japan to abandon this part of its culture would compare to Australians being asked to stop eating meat pies, Americans being asked to stop eating hamburgers, and the English being asked to go without fish and chips. In my time in Japan, I've had a similar experience to Angela in that I really haven't seen much whale meat, and I've never seen dolphin meat. So I think that that is a bit of an overstatement, considering that it isn't nearly as common as those food products that it's compared with in the West.
There was another controversy in Japan this week. All Nippon Airlines put out a commercial that some people have called racist. Basically, the commercial was advertising the new international flights to airports in cities such as Bangkok or Hanoi. And one of the commercial had two males in it, and one was a typical Japanese guy, and another one was also another Japanese guy who later in the commercial represented a white male. And they were both speaking in English, and they talked about how they had to change the image of Japanese people. And in order to change the image of Japanese people, one of the males donned a blonde wig and a big nose. and that's offended a lot of foreign people in Japan. And some have complained to the airline company, and the airline was eventually forced to take down the commercial. But as a foreign resident in Japan, Jeff, were you offended by this commercial in any way?
So actually, when I saw the commercial before it became controversial, I laughed at it. As a white male from the United States, I've seen examples of poking fun at other races in American media, so I think it would be silly for me to call ANA out on being racist towards white people. However, since living in Japan for about 5 years now, I have encountered situations that I thought were not necessarily racist, but insensitive towards the foreign people living here. One example would be, I think in 2009, there was a series of McDonald's commercials featuring a character called Mr. James. And Mr. James spoke in a very slowed down, heavily accented katakana Japanese, basically. For those of you who don't know much about the Japanese language, it's broken into hiragana, katakana, and kanji. For example, when a Japanese TV show is playing, the subtitle will be a combination of all three, because kanji and hiragana are used for most words, and katakana is used for foreign words. So for example, my name is written in katakana, not in kanji, but a Japanese person's name, of course, is in kanji. So when Mr. James talked, he would talk as if speaking in katakana. And of course, he was subtitled in only katakana, and even had a companion blog that was written entirely in katakana, which must have driven the Japanese people reading it crazy. Like I said, I don't think that was racist, but it almost made it seem as if foreigners couldn't possibly comprehend the Japanese language, regardless of how long they've been here and how hard they study. It just seemed to be poking fun of foreign people as perpetual outsiders and never being able to fit in. Okay, so on a lighter note, there was another major story involving Japan this week when Masahiro Tanaka, the ace pitcher for the Rakuten Eagles, will be going to the New York Yankees next season for a record $175 million. $155 million will be going to Tanaka directly, and $20 million will be going to his Japanese club. And this is actually the most expensive overseas acquisition in Major League Baseball history. So Angela did a bit of research and found that Tanaka-san is going to be getting some very special treatment in New York. So can you tell us more about that?
Well, the $175 million doesn't even include the other expenses that the Yankees has agreed to pay. For example, Tanaka will be getting a $35,000 moving allowance, and he'll also have a $100,000 annual housing allowance to live in either New York or Tampa, which is where their spring training grounds is located. He also gets $885,000 to have a Japanese-English interpreter of his choice. And if he's feeling homesick for Japan, well, in addition to having a flight to the United States entirely covered by the Yankees, he also gets 4 first-class round-trip tickets between New York and Japan each year.
Thank you for listening, and be sure to check back again next week for more news and analysis from the Diplomat's Tokyo Bureau. If you have an opinion about the Taiji dolphin hunt, Japanese whaling, the controversial ANA commercial, or the massive salary that will be paid to Masahiro Tanaka, please tell us your thoughts in the comments below.